Apologetics, Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. So, hey, we're going to have a special guest on the air today. We're going to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. I mentioned it on Monday, and I forgot to mention it during the week, that we're going to have a friend of mine, Chad Prigmore, on the air, and he's waiting right now. We'll get to him in a second. And then talk about Alcoholics Anonymous and Celebrate Recovery and some other things. Now, this is going to be an interesting conversation. And so if you want to call, as usual, the number is 208. That's the wrong number. Let's try it again. 877-207-2276. Got a lot of phone numbers in my head, of course. And hopefully we'll talk about that. If you have really important questions to a different topic, you can call up and we can go through them quickly. But we're going to try and focus on Alcoholics Anonymous and stuff like that. So let's see if we can do this right now. I get on the air with, I think I got to hit double click. Chad, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
All right, man. I can hear you, buddy. A little bit muffled. Say something again. Let's check your connection here.
Is that better?
I think so. So we'll just find out. And hey, folks, look, this is Chad Prigmore. He's a pastor of a local church here. And I'm going to ask him some questions. And if you want to, you can call up. We can talk about AA. And let me tell you, you should not be involved with it if you're a Christian, and Christian churches should not have it in their churches. They shouldn't, and we can get into that. So, Chad, why don't you tell me about yourself, tell us about yourself a little bit, and introduce yourself to everybody. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the show, Matt. Mm-hmm. My name is Chad Prigmore. I'm pastor of the Way Ministry Church here in Boise, Idaho.
Hey, Chad, your connection's not that good. It sounds like you're kind of in a box or something a little bit, so I don't know if you've got a better place to stand or something else, but... We want to be able, everybody to hear you, so let's see if we can get a better...
Let me try to call you on another line real quick.
Okay, call back on a landline. That's fine. We'll just fill in until then. No big deal. He'll call back, and we'll work on that. All right.
Okay.
All right. So Chad will call back. I want you all to hear this. He lives not too far from me, and one day we were talking about this stuff, and I said, really, AA is that bad? I didn't know. So we got together. He brought over some information and some books, and we went through some stuff for a couple, 3 hours. And let me tell you, my jaw dropped. And ever since, I've been absolutely convinced AA is occultic. Now, does it help people? Well, yeah. Is that what makes it right? No. Mormonism can make you feel better and give you a better life. It doesn't mean it's good. It doesn't mean that Christians should be involved with it. So what we're going to do is, when he gets back on the line... Oh, that's right. Boy, I've been running around, literally, just running around doing things. Fridays are kind of tough days, they're kind of really busy. All right, let's get back to Chad. Hey, Chad, are you there?
Yeah, is that better?
Oh, that's much better. Much, much better. Good. All right, let's work with that. Okay, Chad, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody? Go ahead.
Yep, like I was saying, my name's Chad Prigmore. I'm the pastor of the Way Ministry Church here in Boise, Idaho, and I also run a ministry that we've had for, I think 6 or 7 years now called Recovery Reformation. And
you know what? Chad, the connection's still bad. Are you on a cell phone? Do you have a landline by any chance?
Yeah, I'm on a landline.
Wow, really? Are you not on a speaker, are you?
I'm not by what?
You're not on speakerphone, are you? Gotta check.
No.
If not, we'll just have to work with it. That's what it is. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry about that, folks. That's the connection. That's what it is. So let's keep going. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. So like I said, we started Recovery Reformation 6 or 7 years ago to combat the prevalence of false teachings in the churches that had come in through the modern recovery movement and that were mainly represented by Alcoholics Anonymous, which most people are familiar with, and its 12 steps, and then its spinoff, Celebrate Recovery. And the point we try to make with people, to people about Recovery Reformation is it's a movement. It's not a program, because we are very convinced, and I think any solid Christian that understands God's word will be convinced that there really is no need for a program to reach someone that's trapped in the sin of addiction. And the reason these programs have come in is because for so many years now there's been such a lack of faith in the power of God's word and the authority and sufficiency of Scripture, and such a focus on humanism and psychology and psychiatry and therapy. And it's been going on for so many generations that even a lot of pastors now don't look at the gospel as being as powerful and as transformative as it is, and rely on, you know, secular programs to help people. The reason I got into this is because I've been sober for, I think, 27, 28 years now from just a horrific cocaine addiction, alcohol addiction, and I spent the first 13 years of my sobriety trapped in the Alcoholics Anonymous cult, which I didn't realize it was a cult when I went into it. But after about 11 or 12 years, I was in the darkest place I'd ever been. And glory be to God, he just opened my eyes at that time and showed me that I needed to get out, that I was in something that was extremely dangerous and was actually demonic, and I needed to seek him. And that was, I guess, 14 years ago now. And it's all been uphill from there. So that's okay. Sort of where I come from.
All right, so let's get right to it. You know, we've talked, we've taken trips together, we've done things together. Well, we take one trip. We went to California together. That was fun.
Yeah, we need to do another one.
Yeah, we do. That's right. Road trip. So, all right. So, why don't we talk about the origins of AA? Because that'll be very, very informative. People who are listening are probably, there's probably a lot of them who are involved in AA, or know people who are involved in AA, or know of churches where AA is being run, and they're seeing it help people, and they're being freed from alcohol addiction, so many would say. So what's the source of AA? Who started it, and when did it start?
It started in the early 30s. I believe it was formally founded in 1935 or 1936, and it was founded by two guys, Bill Wilson, who was considered the main founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. He wrote the big book. He wrote, it's called the big book. It actually just goes by the title Alcoholics Anonymous, and it is what the program is basically based on. Every AA meeting, at the beginning of the meeting, they read a portion of Chapter 5 from the big book, which goes through the 12 steps. And then there's another book he wrote called 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, which is sort of a guidebook of how to work through the steps. But one of the biggest misunderstandings about Alcoholics Anonymous, especially for Christians, is this false belief that it was Christian in origin. And people will claim that Alcoholics Anonymous was Christian in origin because Bill Wilson and others that helped start Alcoholics Anonymous were very much involved in the Oxford group, which existed at that time. And if you said of the Oxford group, it has a lot of similarities to the modern New Apostolic Reformation movement, the Word of Faith movement. They were into spirit writing. Frank Buckman, who was the founder of the Oxford group, basically claimed that he would not teach doctrine or preach doctrine at any of their gatherings because he believed that he wanted to be able to speak to people of any religious persuasion. So it was just a complete train wreck with a label of Christianity on it. And nine times out of ten, if somebody says, well, no, I go to Alcoholics Anonymous, it's Christian in origin, they'll say because it was founded by the Oxford group. But when you really look into what the Oxford group taught, you realize that they were very much, they were completely heretical. And then they were also, before the big book was written, the book Alcoholics Anonymous, they used a book called The Sermon on the Mount by a guy named Emmett Fox. And I remember when I first got sober back in 92, The Sermon on the Mount, I read it over and over and over again. I thought it was just the most brilliant book. Now that I've been freed from that and studied Christian doctrine, and, you know, the Lord has drawn me to him, It's one of the most destructive books I think I've ever read, because Emmett Fox basically takes the Sermon on the Mount and just tries to make it into a self-help program. He pretty much denies the deity of Christ and tries to cast Christ as basically a great spiritual master, and if we can emulate what he did and sort of copy him, then we can achieve the same level of spirituality that Christ had. So Emmett Fox, if anybody studied him, is familiar with his false teachings as well. So AA, like I said, a lot of people believe it was Christian in origin, but it wasn't. And then go ahead, Matt.
The Ouija board stuff with Bill Wilson, the guy who wrote this, the first stuff and founded Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, tell us what a Ouija board is, and how he used it.
Ouija board. You know, if you're not familiar with it, is this weird board, and you sit with people and put your hand on this wooden, circle-shaped wooden piece, and I guess spirits guide your hand around the board and give you messages as it touches each letter of the alphabet and spells things out. Extremely demonic, obviously. It's been used in occultism for years, and it is common knowledge in Alcoholics Anonymous that Bill Wilson communed with demonic spirits via a Ouija board for years, and he was doing this in the summer of 1935 while he was writing. I'm not sure if he was doing it while he wrote the book Alcoholics Anonymous, but I do know he wrote it. He was using it as he was writing the book 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, which is like the guidebook for Alcoholics Anonymous, and he talks about how he would channel the spirit with the Ouija board, and then the words would just pour forth from him, and he would be given spirit writing. He would be given guidance by these spirits. He said one of the spirits was named Boniface, who was supposed to be a German saint or monk from centuries ago that gave him guidance. Bill Wilson also, it's common knowledge that he used LSD because he believed, and this is after years of the AA program being established. I believe this happened all the way through the 40s and maybe into the 50s. That he got involved in LSD because he thought that LSD enabled you to experience ego reduction, which would enable you to achieve a higher spiritual state. So Alcoholics Anonymous, it's very New Agey. Basically, you can bring in any belief you want. The way they pitch it to you is you don't have to believe anybody else's interpretation of God. You can develop a God of your own understanding. And a lot of Christians, I've had Christians tell me that their pastors tell them that they can go to AA as long as the God of their understanding is Christ. But violate a lot of commandments.
So let's just say a pastor who's ignorant, doesn't know. I was ignorant, and I'm an apologist, and I didn't know about this stuff until about a year ago when you filled me in. So let's just say a pastor says, okay, well, you know, as long as you're thinking of Jesus and the whole bit, you should be fine. All right, let's say a person is an alcoholic and is addicted to it. And we can talk about the nature of sin here later, but he's addicted, or she's addicted, and understands this part of AA and goes in there and is thinking of Jesus as their higher power. Isn't that good enough?
No, because, you know, we're told to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers in Scripture, and an AA meeting is a religious gathering. And there's so many things that you have to agree to and that you have to participate in that are directly contrary to Scripture. Like I said, they read a portion of Chapter 5, and part of a portion of Chapter 5 says, those who cannot recover are those who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women
we got a break coming up here. We got a break, Chad. Okay. Hold on. Okay. We'll be right back, folks, after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We're on the line with Chad Prigmore. And incidentally, Chad would sometimes fill in for me on the radio when I had the station here, and I'd go into the station, and that's changed. But Chad's a good guy. He knows his stuff, local pastor. And right now we're talking about the topic of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we were talking about this issue, this question. AA is at a church or some church, and a pastor says to the parishioner, go to AA as long as you are focusing on Jesus. And you were talking about that's not right because, and you can keep going. Go ahead.
Yeah, like I said, you know, we're told to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, and as Christians, we are set apart for the gospel. And to go to an AA meeting, you're basically participating in a pagan worship ceremony where you're told you can believe in a God of your own understanding. And then what I was getting into before the break was a portion of chapter 5 from the book Alcoholics Anonymous is read at every meeting. And part of that states, it says, those who cannot recover are those who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually those who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. So how do you completely give yourself to this program and obey the greatest commandment that Jesus tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? So right there, you've got just one example of a conflict. How can you completely give yourself to the program, or how can you completely serve the Lord and be committed to Him? And then also, and I think anybody will attest to this that has tried to go to AA and talk about Christ, if you... probably 85 to 90% of the AA meetings, if not more, if you even mention the name of Jesus, you will be hissed at, and the leader will tell you that we're not going to talk about that here. You cannot bring up Christianity. I just had a guy email me last week who said he spoke about Christ in a meeting. He was shut down, and the guy that spoke after him was allowed to just rave about how much he loved his new Buddhist religion and how much it was doing for him. So Christianity is really rarely even tolerated within the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, you know, that's two examples. What really gets me about it also is whenever I would hear somebody bring up Christ in the meeting, they would be hissed at. People say they didn't want to hear that. They hated Christianity. There was a lot of atheists that I got to know through the program. But at the end of every meeting, everybody gathers in a circle, holds hands, and recites the Lord's Prayer, which I can never understand. It's like, wow. Do you guys understand whose prayer this is that you're reciting, the one that you just claim to despise?
Okay, we've got callers waiting, and I'm like a cat behind a window right now. I wanted to get to certain topics, but I'm not going to because we've got you on the air. One person wants to talk about apostolic stuff, oneness, I love talking about. Free will, another one. Reformed theology, another one. But we've got a caller on AA, and who wants to talk about that? So we'll get to that person, but how can they get a hold of you? How can if they are interested in this, more information, how do they do that?
Mm-hmm. The best thing to do is go to our website, and it's recoveryreformation.org, and you can link to us. There's email addresses on there. There's a form you can fill out to contact us. There's a lot of articles that expose the teachings of AA, where we break down what the Big Book teaches, the book Alcoholics Anonymous, what 12 Steps and 12 Tradition teaches. So we show the direct contradictions between what AA teaches and the gospel on the website. So recoveryreformation.org is the best way to reach us.
Right. And just either clarify, because the Way Ministry Church, we don't want to mix that up, because that's what you have at the top of the page. It's not to be confused with the Way International, which is a non-Christian cult, but nevertheless, the Way
Exactly.
Ministry Church. And so there's that. Let's see if we can get to a caller. Clay from Raleigh, North Carolina. Clay, are you there?
Hey, Brother Matt. God bless you and Happy New Year, man. Thank you for taking the time to do this and bring Brother Chad on. Brother Chad, I just want to commend you, man, for doing what you're doing. I have never been in that capacity before. You know, I did stop drinking, but I will just say I commend you on doing what you're doing, because you know, I've heard ins and outs and lefts and rights about, you know, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous and stuff like that, but I've never been part of it because I know I didn't abuse it. But I'm just very thankful that this is happening, because this is just a, you know, an eye-opening thing that people need to know, and information that people need to have brought forth. And, you know, I look at it as like, you know, you put something in your body that the Lord gave you and you don't take care of it, He's going to come knocking. And alcohol, and whether it's in any, you know, form, it can do you harm, especially when you abuse it. So, brother, I just want to, again, commend you on that, and God bless you, man, and just say thanks for doing what you're doing, and, you know, I'm thankful that this is being done. Y'all have a wonderful evening. God bless, and Happy New Year again.
You too, man. Thanks
for
calling.
Thank you so much,
Thanks for calling.
I appreciate that. God bless you.
All right. That's Clay from Raleigh, North Carolina. Let's get to Nancy from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hey, Nancy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much. I've called in before about this topic, but I didn't have a chance to talk. I know that makes you sad, but anyway, I want to start out by saying I am an alcoholic and an addict. I'm 58 years old, and by the grace of God, I have not... I haven't had anything today. We're just going to say it that way. You know, he's kept me in his arms for quite a while, and I'm very grateful. But I do want to say this. If I'm drinking and I'm listening to you all talk, if I hear somebody tell me not to go to AA, if I'm drinking, that is a wonderful thing for me to hear, because it's going to tell me that I have an excuse to just go on out and keep drinking. If we don't offer these people, and I know that the gentleman is on, I think he offers that program, but if you don't follow it up by saying what to do and where to go, then it would be a party for me. It would be like, fine, y'all are Christians, and you told me not to go there. And in chapter 5, when it says that you must follow this program, completely follow this program, that statement, it's kind of like if you go to Weight Watchers.
Nancy, after the bottom of the hour break, I was going to ask Chad, well, if not AA, then what? And so, since you've called up and asked about it, why don't we just get right into that right now? We got a break coming up in a couple, 3 minutes anyway. But, Chad, you want to kind of jump in on that one?
Yeah, and that's a common response that you get from people, and the first thing they're going to tell you when you go to Alcoholics Anonymous is that you have a disease, that disease is incurable, and that you have to attend Alcoholics Anonymous for the rest of your life. Well, that directly contradicts Scripture. Galatians 5:20-21 has a list of sins, and two of those sins are drunkenness, obviously alcoholism, and the other one is sorcery, which in Greek is pharmakia, which refers to drug addiction. So right there you've got a contradiction between the two. You're suffering from sin. You're not suffering from a disease. But all down through church history, if you read Augustine, you read Calvin, you read Spurgeon, you'll hear them write about stories where someone brought the village drunk to church. And this is the guy that everybody knows. He spends his life drinking. He's out of control. Somebody talks him into going to church. He hears the gospel. The Lord moves on his heart. He's made a new creation in Jesus Christ. He puts down the bottle.
And we have a break coming up.
Okay.
What timing. Hey, folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages with Chad Prigmore talking about Alcoholics Anonymous. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We have Chad Prigmore on, and we're discussing the issue of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to get to Celebrate Recovery also in a little bit, and right now we're discussing the issue of, well, if not AA, then what? And Nancy's still on hold, but go ahead, Chad. You want to continue?
Yeah, and really, Nancy's really making the point that I try to make to people, and I'm assuming she's a professing Christian if she listens to your show, but it's interesting how many professing Christians, when it comes to drug or alcoholism, automatically assume that the answer, the solution to that, is the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, or by extension, Celebrate Recovery, a 12-step program. And isn't that sad that we live in a day and age in which we don't look to the gospel, we don't look to the cross? And if you're just standing at a crossroads and you're saying, I'm drinking, I'm using, I'm addicted, and one path down that crossroads is the amazing, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, John 3:16, God sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose on the third day. He suffered for us, and then he ascended. Just that beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the other path is a man-made program that's proven to have demonic origins that directly contradicts the gospel of Jesus Christ, and 90% of the modern church will go down that path of the 12 steps, thinking that it is the only way. And I know that's what they teach, because when I was in the program, I used to ask my sponsor, I'd say, you know, I remember asking him one time, what did people do before AA to get sober? And the common answer is, they just died. There was no answer. Because people don't have faith in the gospel. They don't have faith in God's word nowadays, even in the churches especially. Well, and that's really what Recovery Reformation is trying to address. And Matt and I have talked about this. Mm-hmm. We have got to get back to understanding the power of God's true word in Scripture. Because if you really grasp the gospel message and you're really clinging to Jesus Christ and you're really striving to live with him and to carry your cross daily and to follow and to be conformed to his image, the idea of participating in a program of Alcoholics Anonymous to overcome an addiction or alcoholism seems absurd. There's no comparison.
Isn't alcoholism just a disease you catch and it's not your responsibility? I'm being sarcastic here.
That's how they pitch it. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous has brought in this disease concept that has influenced, that has been, it's creeped into our entire society and it's creeped into the church. Alcoholism is not a disease, and you cannot prove that medically, and to say that it's a disease directly contradicts, like I said, Galatians 5, 20 and 21, and where Paul lists drunkenness and drug addiction as sin. And they are sin, and the only way to overcome sin is through Jesus Christ. You know, and people may go to AA. Am I saying AA doesn't help people? No. AA can help people get sober, but it will lead them to eternal destruction. You see, and that's the trade-off.
So some of the things we've talked about, and, you know, me, I like things just listed out. So for those who are listening, AA has an occultic origin, very demonic origin, and some of the occult practices mm-hmm. are woven into AA practices. And it's anti-Christian. Even though they quote the Lord's Prayer, you're not allowed to promote Christ and healing found through Christ. And I know this, right, that it promotes false gods, because the doorknob issue, you know, you can even have a doorknob be your god. And so here's something for Christians to think about. When you go into AA, and this is I have a relative who's been through it, and I've talked to Chad who's been through it. And so the idea of a doorknob, you could say a doorknob is your god, as long as that's your higher power and you yield. Well, can something like that be promoted and allowed in a Christian church? And the answer, of course, is no, because it's idolatry. And we can't have something in the Christian church that would promote anything idolatrous. And fourth, there's another issue. It keeps people in bondage to the program. You have to stay in the program in order to stay sober. You have to stay in the program and go through it in order to be safe. It's not coming to Christ and finding redemption in Christ. It's not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and finding forgiveness in Jesus. It's not being indwelt by the Lord and recognizing the sin for what it is and then fighting that sin with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it's a man-made humanistic program that is designed in an occult origination in order to keep people under a bondage that they have to continue to go to that meeting. And that's where their hope is. That's where their salvation, so to speak, is. This is all bad news. Mm-hmm. It's part of what AA really is.
Yeah. It teaches, if you even just want to make it black and white, you know, and Matt, I know coming from your position of an apologist, if you have something from Mormonism in the Book of Mormon that directly contradicts the Christian gospel, that is irrefutable evidence that condemns the false teaching. And if you look at the book Alcoholics Anonymous, page 13 says, "There I humbly offered myself to God, as I then understood him to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away root and branch. I have not had a drink since." That sounds so nice and so fluffy. But what's missing? Jesus is no part of it. Mm-hmm. You see?
And if it's no part of it, in fact, if
it's teaching forgiveness of sins without the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then also on the same page, it says that my newfound friend promised when these things were done, I would enter upon a new relationship with my Creator. And again, the Christian gospel is no part of the program. So how can you be reconciled, like Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he says we are given a ministry of reconciliation. The only way you can be reconciled with your Creator is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is no part of the AA program, but the AA program says you'll be reconciled with your Creator. So you've got clear contradictions of Scripture. Absolutely. In the AA literature. And this isn't like obscure AA literature. The Big Book and the 12 and 12 are the two books. They're like the Bibles of AA. So people in AA live by these books.
Well, tell you what, we got a caller waiting. So why don't we get to the caller? We're going to have a break in 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll go to the last segment of the show. Let's get to Roger from North Carolina. Roger, what do you got there?
Hey, Matthew 12:43-46 talks about...
We have a bad connection in Matthew 12 what?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, Matthew 12:43-46 talks about a man is possessed by a demon, and the demon gets out and goes around, comes back, and finds the house empty, garnished with the vintage, and it's all very beautiful. But I see that as a picture of people who maybe just with alcohol or drugs, but without the gospel. And, you know, they end up being worse off because they don't need the gospel.
Well, hold on. What that is talking about is casting out demons. And it's a very specific context. And so if you're casting out demons and the Holy Spirit is not in the person upon the deportation of a demonic force or forces, and if the house is swept clean and unoccupied, the Holy Spirit isn't in the person, then the demonic forces can enter in again, and then the second condition is worse than the first. That's the context of what's going on. That's what it's talking about. But you want to know how if it can relate to AA? Is that it?
Well, yeah, and so, go ahead. Yeah, that's how I was wondering how it can relate.
Well, you know, I mean, I'll let Chad tackle it, but let me just add this. If there is a demonic force indwelling an individual and who has addictions because of it, then this would be applicable. But the person must be willing to come to Christ. And if AA is, like what Chad is saying, and which I've recognized as well now, after having studied it some more, is that AA does not promote Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So therefore, it is dangerous. But anyway, Chad, you want to add in on that?
Yeah, and I can understand where this gentleman is coming from, because that struck my mind a few times as I've read those portions of Scripture in Matthew, and I can totally get where he's coming from. And in a way, that is what happens with AA, because you give up, you may stop drinking, you may stop using, your idol transfers from your addiction to the program. So your recovery becomes your idol. You count every day you're sober. You celebrate every year when you get another year of sobriety. The program is your life. You don't make a decision without speaking to your sponsor. And I can tell you from experience that that's, after 11 years of doing that, that's when I completely ended up in the darkest place I've ever been. So when I remember reading that portion of Scripture after I came out of the program, and I thought, oh, this is what happened to me. But Matt's correct. It's referring to demonic influence, so I don't know if it applies directly in context, but I see where the guy's coming from. And you do open yourself up through the AA program to really spiritually things that are worse than drugs and alcohol. I mean, when I was in AA, I was heavily involved in Buddhism, both Zen Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism. I got into New Age philosophy, Hinduism. I was just looking for anything I could.
Okay. We got a break coming up. I don't know if you can hear the music when it comes in, but that's the way it works. We got one more break, folks. Then we'll get back on with Chad Prigmore discussing Alcoholics Anonymous. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, the last segment. Hey, we got a bunch of people wanting to talk to you, Chad. But we've got to get over a couple of, or talk about something really fast here. Two things. One, could you just address in a minute or two, celebrate recovery, and what we really need to know is, Well, if not Alcoholics Anonymous, then what would you replace it with? What program or material would you use? So, Celebrate Recovery, and then what do you do instead of AA? Go ahead.
Yes, in my opinion, and it's starting to be the opinion of other pastors and leaders that I work with in this effort, is Celebrate Recovery from a Christian perspective is actually more dangerous than Alcoholics Anonymous, because Alcoholics Anonymous, you know when you walk into it that it's heretical if you've looked at it like we've talked about today. Celebrate Recovery, basically Saddleback Church through Rick Warren, took the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, corrupted the Beatitudes and tried to mix them in instead of being blessings of grace, something that you work for, like through a self-help program, and have been very successful in selling the 12 steps as a Christian recovery program. And some of the most confused, hurt people that I have come across in ministry have been those that have come out of Celebrate Recovery, because it is very humanistic. It's very much based on psychology, dealing with what's going on inside you. It doesn't focus on the cross. So it's another level of a sinister corruption of God's word. And we're not supposed to mix God's word. And they actually made a Bible, you know, where they took the 12 steps of AA, they added in what they wanted to add from Celebrate Recovery, and then put it in a Bible. And it says right in the front of that Bible that the familiar 12 steps remain intact under the Celebrate Recovery model. They try to justify it by changing the higher power to Jesus or God. But do we really need it? I mean, to answer your question, what do we replace it with? We need to replace it with the churches getting back to being what the churches are supposed to be, where we share the gospel with people, where we raise up disciples for Christ. When that hurt sinner comes in, whether they're drinking or using or lusting or lying or cheating or stealing, whatever sin it is that's manifesting in them, the church has got to get back to surrounding that person with the love of Jesus Christ, entrenching them in the gospel, saturating them with God's word, and getting them focused on the cross. Because when you focus on the cross and you're seeking to be conformed to the image of Christ, I can tell you from experience, recovery becomes a non-issue. You know, it's like, that's why I don't identify as an alcoholic anymore or a drug addict. I've been set free from all that. Christ has freed me from it, and I don't need to even think about it anymore. And I'm not the only one that's experienced that. So the only thing we need to replace it with is rewinding the church and getting back to what the church is supposed to be, and stop focusing on, like you and I were talking about the other day, what we're calling therapeutic humanism, secular humanism, psychology, you know, and trying to have people work through their problems. Just go to the cross. Focus on the gospel. Focus on God's word. And so much of what you think is killing you will just fall away, because that's what Christ does for us. So I hope that's not overly simplistic, but that's it. And I know you understand that. I mean,
oh, yeah.
people do not understand the authority and sufficiency of the word nowadays.
Yeah. Well, you and I have talked about things, because people who are wounded and are suffering and under addiction often need something, someone to help them, like a blind person would need, you know, a sighted person to hold them by the hand and walk this way, not that way. Now, we've talked about the Heidelberg Catechism, and this is something that you said you've used. Could you talk about that?
Yep.
And then afterwards, I want you to tell people how to get a hold of you again. But go ahead. The Heidelberg Catechism is something you use.
Yeah, I've used the Heidelberg Catechism off and on for 4 or 5 years. Honestly, I'm moving away from it a little bit right now, just because we're having so much people responding just to the pure gospel message. And I'm not saying the Heidelberg Catechism isn't a pure gospel message, but we're just sharing the gospel with people. But the Heidelberg Catechism is a great tool, because when that person comes in, the Lord changes their heart. They want to seek Christ. Matt is right. They need a roadmap. They need something to guide them into the Christian faith. And the Heidelberg Catechism is one of the best tools you can use for doing that. So it's one thing that I've depended on, like I said, for the last, I think, 4 or 5 years now in bringing people in that just have no understanding of Christian doctrine. But the main thing is, like I said, a lot of this lies at the feet of the churches. And the churches have got to to, you know, the Great Commission doesn't say go share the gospel with somebody, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then move on to the next one. No, it says go make disciples of all nations. That entails work, and that's what we've got to do is get into that work of doing what you're doing with CARM, entrenching people in Christian doctrine. So the Heidelberg Catechism is a great tool for doing all of this. It's been around for centuries.
The Heidelberg Catechism, it's written by reformers in, I think, the 1500s or 1600s, but it's warm. There's something neat about it. And what it does, folks, is it just lists out, by questions and answers, various teachings and things like that. And it's very down-to-earth, as well as being doctrinally deep. It's a brilliant compilation of statements, and it can be very, very useful for people to become more sanctified.
And it's very,
go ahead.
Sorry, I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but it's very good for people coming out of sinful behavior, habitual sin, like drug addiction or alcoholism, because the very beginning of the Heidelberg Catechism, the first section is called Sin and Misery, and it explains what that does to us, why we're in it, and then it moves you straight into the gospel. So it works brilliantly for that.
Are you saying alcoholism and drug addiction are sins?
Yeah.
And if it's a
people don't
sin,
like to hear it, but it's the way it is.
That's what it is.
That's like I said earlier. Sin manifests in different people in different ways. And if you really look at this, if you just sort of step back and look at the modern church, everybody sins in some way. There's some people that are habitual liars. Some people steal. Some people cheat at their job. Some people are sex addicts. Some people drink. Some people use drugs. But again, we're in that mindset when those sinners with the drug addiction or the alcohol addiction come through the door. 9 times out of 10, the church doesn't bring them into the gospel. They bring them into a program.
Mm-hmm.
And they may never hear the gospel.
Right. Yeah, the Bible is turned into 7 steps to have a better shoelace tying experience and whatever it might be to help you, as if secular psychology is a veneer put upon the Bible. You have to extract out of the Bible those things that match psychological patterns and help steps. You know, I do marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. I always teach biblical theology. In fact, I'll be teaching on marriage next month at a local church, a Baptist church. And I'm going to start with theology. When people find out the theological basis for marriage, for example, then they understand what their responsibilities are within marriage and head in the right direction. The same thing goes with this issue of sin and rebellion against God. Yes, alcoholism is a sin, and other things are sins. Now, we're not, you know, neither Chad nor I know Chad well, and he's a great guy, and he doesn't hammer people and condemn them. He's very compassionate and patient with people. But sin is sin. It needs to be identified as such. And then we need to take steps about, you know, forgiveness, being forgiven of God, and recognizing our dependence need on Him and having the Holy Spirit work through us. That way you don't need a program. You have Jesus, and He's always with you. And these kind of things can help.
Exactly.
Now, sometimes, you know, I will admit that sometimes some people are so needful, and I'm not mocking anybody in that way, but they do need a program of some sort to help them get, you know, like training wheels, so to speak, until they're ready to ride on their own, so to speak, with that. Okay, Chad, so once again, how do people get a hold of you? Because we're almost at the end of the hour here. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes. How do they get a hold of you?
Yep. Just go to recoveryreformation.org. And there's a contact form on there if you have any questions or prayer requests. That'll come straight through to me via email. And we are reaching people all over the world right now. So we're doing everything we can in this battle. And I'll tell you, Matt, what's really exciting, and you know this, when I first started this years ago, it was nothing but attack. You know, people from AA wanted to tear my heart out because they couldn't believe somebody was exposing what it's really all about. But it's been so motivating in the last year or so, because so many people are contacting us that have been through the program, have been freed from the program, have learned what it's about, and are trying to get it out of their churches. It is starting to move in the right direction on a lot of fronts, and it's just something that we need more people to become aware of and get their churches back to the gospel, you know? And focus on what we're supposed to be focusing on as the church. And if we do that, we'll see people delivered. And it comes back to, like I was referring to earlier, you read those stories down through church history of people being set free from these things because of the power of the gospel, because of the Holy Spirit working on them, and all that glory goes to God. And that's what we need to get back to, is seeing people delivered from these things and God just being thanked and praised for it, because a program's just going to lead you in the wrong direction. These 12-step programs are just doing horrific damage. And then they need to,
you know,
like,
you
like
said
people
something.
Tell me, do I want to end AA? No, just keep it in the world, not the churches.
Yeah. You said something earlier that I resonate with a lot, and it was a passing comment, but you basically said, I don't know the exact wording, but it was something along the lines of, people aren't taking the Word of God seriously and trusting in its healing power. And I have said that so many times in so many different ways. It's the power of the Word of God. It really is sufficient in everything that we need, in our addictions, in our sins, our failures, our rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
We find all the solutions in the Word of God. And it is true. And I think that a lot of people don't believe that the Word of God is that powerful and that it's that good. But it is. But nevertheless.
Yeah.
So I know you've had successes. We've got a couple of minutes left here in the show. Has it been, have you had people, you know, they've been set free from AA and found deliverance from alcohol,
oh, yeah,
for example?
Yeah. In fact, if people go to the website, I forget what it's entitled, but on one of the pages, on Recovery Reformation, there's some sub-pages under there, and one of them is Breaking Through Recovery. And one of the sections on that page, we've got, I think, 10 or 12 stories that people have sent us over the last couple of years of being freed from Celebrate Recovery, Alcoholics Anonymous, addiction in general, just by the power of the Word, just through coming to faith in Jesus Christ. So yeah, we have those stories on the website. That's something we love to share. And we're getting more of those coming in now, like crazy.
Good. Yeah, it's under the Recovery Reformation section, and then in there is Breaking Through Recovery. Your website looks nicer than my website. It does. It's nice. I got to get something like that for Carm. We've been having a lot of problems. That's a long story.
Yeah, I remember you were saying that.
Well, yeah. Hold on.
Yeah, see if I can find it real quick. It's right there.
Yeah, and there's testimonies of Breaking Through Recovery and things like that. So we need to write more material for Carm, because some of your articles are on Carm. And so people, you can go to carm.org and just look up Chad, C-H-A-D, or just look up Alcoholics Anonymous. You'll find the articles, and you can link to Chad. You can also just go to his website, Reformation Recovery, and it'll forward you to another
Recovery
website.
Reformation.org.
Recovery Reformation. Okay, R-E-C-R-E-F. Yep. So it'll be in alphabetical order. Recovery Reformation, and it'll forward you to the way, R-122.org. And you can get information there. You can contact him. So, you know, we're about out of time here. I want to say thanks to you, Chad, for coming on the show and talking about this. It's not a popular topic either. You're going to get flack for it.
No. Yep. No, I appreciate you having me on the show, Matt. It's a huge help, and you reach so many people in your ministry. Such a blessing to so many, and to be able to, you know, have you help me has always been just a very humbling blessing for me, and I hope more people will continue to wake up to the truth, because we are in exciting times like we talk about.
Amen, brother. There's the music. Yep. You gotta go. Hey folks, we're out of here. Sorry we didn't get to the callers that were waiting. I apologize for that, but that was Chad Prigmore. Get a hold of him by going to recoveryreformation.org. I think it's .com, and it'll forward you to him. You can get a hold of him about Alcoholics Anonymous. You should not be in your church. God bless everybody. Talk to you later. See you. Bye.